Today we are in Psalm number 94. We begin our study in verse 12, and we will go through Psalm 96. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. Excuse me. God helps us by disciplining us when we do what is wrong. No discipline is fun at the time, the Bible says, but its end result is good. It is good that God makes His children feel bad when they sin, because then they will not want to sin as much in the future. So the end result is good. And so it says, blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from the days of trouble, till a pit is dug for the wicked. There is relief coming for God's people. The relief that we look forward to will not be in this life, but there is relief coming. There is a rest coming for those who follow God. It's not easy to stay on track sometimes in this world. It's hard to stay on track sometimes. It's hard to live in a world that does not honor God. A world whose systems and most people do not care about God. So it's hard to find rest. But like with Noah, who worked so hard for 100 years and put up with mocking for preaching the gospel and for preaching judgment against sinners. There came a day when Noah finally got his rest. He entered the ark, God shut the door, he got his rest. We also will have rest someday. 14. For the Lord will not reject his people, he will never forsake his inheritance. If you belong to God through Jesus Christ, He will never forsake you. He will never walk away from you. That's what the Bible teaches, Old Testament and New. Now, many of God's people have wondered if God has walked away from them. Some people have had it bad almost since day one of their lives. Their situation never gets any better. And they wonder, has God walked away from me? But I can tell you that that type of thinking is not faith thinking, because God says He will never leave us. And it doesn't take much faith to believe that when everything is going well, but it does take faith to believe it when things are bad. And it glorifies God when you believe it in spite of bad circumstances. 15. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. One day justice, the justice of this world, will again be just, and good people will be happy at last. 16. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Notice what God says. He's asking. He's saying, is anyone out there? Anyone out there willing to take a stand for me? God is saying, who will stand up for what is right? Who will confront sin by being holy? Who will confront what is false by speaking what is true? Even though it may cost them something. Who will stand up for me in the midst of this world that is sin crazy? This world that I have made? That is God's question. 17. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. God will help you do it. God will help you take a stand for what is right. And I can tell you that to take a stand for what is right, you have to look to God for strength and courage and support. Don't look to other people. They may give it to you, they may not. You look to God for strength, courage, and support. You wait for support from others, it may never come, and you may never do it. 18. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. The closer we are to God, the more strength He gives us to stand strong. He will hold us up. When we feel like caving, He will hold us up. But we have to stay close to Him so He can grab us. How in the world can anybody support you, grab you, hold you up, if you're not close to them? It's the same with us and God. 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. When we begin to doubt, and we begin to worry, and we begin to fret and start thinking about caving in and compromising, God will cheer us up. God will encourage us. He will give us hope. Again, if we draw close to Him, He can't help us unless we draw close to Him. 20. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you, one that brings on misery by its decrees? Corrupt government. When a government permits wrong and even legislates wrong with their laws and thus works against what is right and works against God, that government will soon have more trouble than it can handle. Believe me. 21. They band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. And that is the mark of an ungodly people and an ungodly government. They band together against the righteous and put the innocent to death. The devil in this world, that he rules, and when I say that, I mean he rules in the hearts of a lot of people, the people who are not saved. The devil has not changed, and the world apart from God has not changed. The devil loves to destroy anything that is innocent, mar anything that is good, because he hates it, he despises it. And the world, you can bet, they will destroy anyone who is innocent if that person gets in the way of their sin. If that person gets in the way of their desires, watch out. They may leave you alone. People may leave you alone as long as you don't try to stop them from sinning. That'll tick them off. You oppose their sin, that'll tick them off. And they'll destroy you one way or another. That's why they killed Jesus. Jesus got in the way of the Pharisees and their sin, their sinful pride. They wanted to be in charge. He got in the way. With all his teaching of the pure word of God, he got in their way. And they killed him. And that's why many innocent people are killed today. It's because they get in somebody's way. Somebody who wants to sin. How dare you try to stop me from sin? How dare you hinder me from sinning? I'll destroy you. Happens all the time. I saw last week, read an article where a woman, she looked like she was in her mid-20s, a little 2-year-old boy, killed him, murdered her own son because after all, he got in the way of her sinful lifestyle. She wanted to party, and he was just a hindrance, so I just have to kill him. 22. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. Well, we can stand alone if we have to, because God is on our side. We're never really alone. He will give us grace to be what He wants us to be. 23. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. And a lot of times the wicked will turn on each other. And a lot of times their own sin turns on them. And they end up destroying themselves. And that's how God does it. Their greed gets the best of them. Their sin gets the best of them. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. A real Christian doesn't have to be instructed in the area of praise and thanksgiving. I've said this many times. You don't have to teach a Christian how to worship God or to worship God, because their heart is full of appreciation for what Jesus did, and what's in the heart is bound to spill over into words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 2. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Come to God with a thankful heart. Come to God praising Him. It's good to ask God for things. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. But it is not good to only ask for things in our prayers. Sometimes it's a good thing just to toss the list of requests aside and spend time telling God how great He is and how much we appreciate Him. 3. For the Lord is great. He is the great God, the great King above all gods. The gods of the world are nothing. They're not even... I won't even say they're dead because they were never alive. They cannot see, they cannot hear because they are nothing. Almighty God is the one great God. The God of the Bible is the one true great God. No other gods beside Him. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have any gods beside Me. For in His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. In other words, God controls the entire earth, from the fiery center all the way up to the highest mountain peak, which means no matter where we are, God is in charge. He owns it all. Verse 5, the sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. God made the sea, and He also caused the dry land to appear. He did it by saying these words, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. That's all it took. God just explained what He wanted, and it happened. And from that, He made the oceans, and the continents, and the islands. 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The Lord is our Maker. And that is why we should kneel before Him. You don't need any other reason at all to kneel before God other than the fact that He is your Maker. And it is a sinfully prideful person who thinks that they are too important to kneel before God, their Maker. Who do people think they are? We are nothing without God. Literally, we are nothing without God because we wouldn't be. And anything we are is due 100% to the Lord God, our Creator. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Some people don't believe that. The God revealed to us in Scripture is their God. Doesn't matter what they believe. Doesn't change anything. He still is. They can believe in the boogeyman if they want to. They can believe that some fairy is their God. Doesn't matter. It's a bunch of baloney. God Almighty is their God, whether they believe it or not. And the Bible says He is our shepherd. And He made the earth and gave it to us as our pasture. And, you know, it would be real smart to listen to our shepherd and let Him guide us. Look at 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried Me, though they had seen what I did. A sheep that will not listen and obey the voice of its shepherd will be in big trouble, because they don't have what it takes to make decisions on their own. They'll be in big trouble, or they will not get out of trouble if they're already in it. And the same with us and God, who is our shepherd. God says, I wish you would just listen to Me when I tell you how to live. You would avoid a lot of trouble if you did. Or if you were in trouble, you'd get out of it a lot faster. 10. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known My ways. God did miracles for 40 years on behalf of the Israelites as they wandered through the desert. 40 years of care, 40 years of provision, 40 years of protection, and they said, thank you, God, by not wanting anything to do with Him, instead by turning their backs on Him and sinning against Him. Consequently, God was disgusted with them for 40 years. They sinned against Him for 40 years. God was disgusted with them for 40 years. He was disgusted, but He was still good to them. And He still took care of them. So I declared in my oath, I declared on oath in my anger, verse 11 says, they shall never enter My rest. The entire generation of those who refused to obey God died without ever entering the Holy Land. That's what it means when it says that they never entered their rest. And people who are rejecting Christ today, or sitting on the spiritual fence between God and the world, which is still rejecting Christ, better jump on Jesus' side, or they're going to miss out on the eternal rest that God offers us through Jesus Christ. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord a new song. God deserves a new song because God has done a new work. God has done a new thing. He has died to save man from hell. He has died to save man, his creation, from eternal hellfire. He deserves a new song for that new thing he has done. And every person from every part of the world should sing to God because salvation is for everyone who receives it. Verse 2, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Not a day should go by without the redeemed saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from hell. And that's so little. I mean, saying thank you is such a little thing. I mean, think about it. Compared to what Jesus did for us, saving us from hell, saying thank you is a very small thing. And yet it's something we can do. And it's something that he appreciates. It's something that he wants. It's good to be appreciated. Verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Get the word of God. Get out the word of God, is what he is saying. Get the word out about God. Declare him among the world, among the nations. Yes, just use whatever means you can to spread the news about what God has done and how good he is. Because if the redeemed will not do that, it will not get done. No one else will do it. 4. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. God is great, beyond words. So, no matter what we say about him, no matter how we proclaim him, we will never do him justice. Our words will never be good enough. Because he is great beyond words. But we can at least try, and God gives us the credit for trying at least. Because he knows our heart. 4 and 5. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. God made the heavens. Talking about where the birds fly. And the airplanes fly. Talking about outer space. God made the heavens. Praise him and fear him. Because he made the universe with all the stars and all the asteroids and all the universe or all the galaxies and all the planets. And we are fortunate that a God that big, that powerful, actually loves us. We are fortunate. But it's still a good idea to fear him, to have a deep, healthy, reverential respect for him. 6. The heavens splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Do you know that God has a sanctuary? And strength and glory is before him. And of course, God is everywhere at the same time. But the focal point of his being seems to be his throne room in heaven. What a place that is. A place of angelic voices singing praise to him. Music like you've never heard before. Lights flashing like you've never seen before. Talking about thunderstorm, according to Book of Revelation, going on in that throne room at some times. Lightning flashing, thunder. Unbelievable. I'll tell you this, it's a beautiful place. A place that's going to leave us speechless when we see it. I'll bet you. 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. God isn't just strong, you know. He is strength. He is the source of strength. All strength that we have comes from him. In other words, we can't give God anything that he hasn't first given to us because we can't do anything for him which he has not given us the strength to do, because all strength comes from him. 8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The glory God is due, the glory that God Almighty deserves, involves offerings. He deserves that. It involves offering ourselves and all that we have to his service. He deserves that. Actually, he deserves much more than even everything that we can do for him. So, giving him all that we are offering Him ourselves, that isn't enough, but it's the very least that we can do. He deserves much more. 9. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. God appreciates our offerings when they are given because we appreciate Him. But the greatest offering that we can give is a holy life. Notice how that is worship to God. When we are holy, we are worshiping God. According to God, that is a beautiful offering. 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Tell everyone that God is in charge of the whole world. Tell everyone that's the way it is and the way it will always be. And tell everyone that God will judge everyone and His perfect holiness will be the standard that He judges by. Verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. All of nature will be happy when God gets rid of sin and all its negative effects. The world's going to be a very nice place. I think. You know what I think? I think the wind's going to sound different. I think the waves are going to sound different. I think that the birds are going to sing different. I think the noise that animals make is going to be different. I think it's going to be more of a happy sound. I think all nature is going to be in a good mood. And I think the Bible teaches that. Notice what it says in verse 12. Let's read 11 and 12. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. I don't know what that means, but all the trees of the forest are going to sing for joy. What in the world does that mean? That's one of those things in the Bible that we don't understand. But I accept it, because this is going to be a happy world. Verse 13, they will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. The Bible is the most important thing in the world. The Word of God is the Word of God. We will be judged by the truth. And Jesus said to the Father that God's Word is truth. Jesus also said that the Word He spoke will be our judge. Remember what He said? He said, I'm not going to judge you. Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. The Word that I have spoken, it will judge you. The Word of... That's how important the Bible is. We will be tested. But the good news is God has given us the answer book ahead of time. It's His Word. It's the Bible. It is the answer book. And so when we abide by the answer book, we prepare ourselves for the final exam, which is definitely coming. Next time, Psalm 97, verse 1. Until then, so long, everyone.